exactly the kind of meaningful debate we need to have. And if he genuinely believes that we are in danger of going down a Nazi route, stick by your guns and go and win the argument. Don't fold like a cheap suit at the first sign of some artillery fire from the opposition. Now, Sadiq Khan has backed calls for the decriminalisation of cannabis possession, as a study suggests the way that the drug is policed causes greater harm to society than its use, and that the use of stop and search powers disproportionately affects black communities. Should cannabis be decriminalised?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 1 o'clock, three people have died after a crash on the M5 in Gloucestershire. National Highways are reporting long delays on the northbound carriageway as investigations continue. LBC's Thea Rickard reports.
Avon and Somerset Police tell us they're still trying to establish why the white BMW came off the road at around 9 o'clock yesterday evening. This happened on the northbound side of the M5 between Junction 14 for Foulfield and the Michael Wood services. We're hearing two adults in their 40s and a teenage child who were travelling in the vehicle died of their injuries, while another child was seriously hurt and is in hospital.
LBC understands that UK officials will speak to the US at the earliest opportunity to understand the implications of Donald Trump's latest steel tariffs. The president has announced a doubling of tariffs on steel and aluminium. The UK government says it remains committed to protecting British businesses and jobs across key sectors, including steel. The US Defence Secretary has warned the threat from China to Taiwan could be imminent. Speaking at a conference in Singapore, Mr. Hegseth said Beijing is rehearsing for a potential invasion of the territory. China regards Taiwan as a breakaway province. Mr. Hegseth has warned any invasion of the island will have devastating consequences for the world. A man has been arrested after a car crashed into pedestrians in Leicester. Police say it happened after a fight at a party. Two men and two women remain in hospital. A 31-year-old man from Leicester has been arrested on suspicion of causing grievous bodily harm with intent and causing serious injury by dangerous driving. Around 66 boats from across Europe are recreating the evacuation of British troops from Dunkirk in the Second World War. It's 85 years since a fleet of 1,000 vessels sailed through enemy fire to rescue more than 300,000 British and Allied troops from northern France. The boats taking part in today's event are due to return to Ramsgate this afternoon. LBC weather, dry with lots of sunny spells for many. It's going to be breezy on the coast, but very warm in the south, with temperatures peaking at 27 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Sinead Carroll.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Ali Mirage.
Ali Mirage on LBC. It's 2 minutes past one. In this second hour, I want to talk about drugs. Yes, I want to talk about, I was going to say illicit substances, but they might not really be illicit anymore, at least not cannabis, because there's a big piece in The Guardian today, which I think really raises this issue and brings it to the fore. And it's entitled, "Worried About Weed? Should London Follow New York and Decriminalise Cannabis?" Now, this follows the report that was done, this study that was done by the independent London Drugs Commission that reported just a couple of days ago. And earlier this week, Lord Charlie Faulkner, chair of the Independent Drugs Commission, who published that study this week and spoke with my colleague Nick Ferrari, had this to say on how far he believes decriminalisation should go.
You don't want to encourage cannabis use and you want to provide proper support for people, but criminalising people who possess it was a disproportionate and unhelpful thing to do. We looked around the world and saw that if you legalised it completely, including dealing, what happened then was you replaced big tobacco with big cannabis. And what big cannabis does, for quite understandable reasons, that's commercial people selling cannabis, is encourage people to take more cannabis or more people to take it. And that's not good. So the compromise that we've come up with is make it criminal to deal and make it legal to have possession.
Make it legal to have possession. Really, really interesting. Lord Faulkner coming out with that one. Very, very interesting. There's been a lot of debate about this, obviously, in recent years about drugs and what we should do, whether we should legalise, whether we should not legalise. This is about decriminalising the personal use of cannabis. It's not going after the suppliers or the proprietors of this sort of stuff, you know, people who go and make this cannabis or grow it or whatever you do. It's not attacking them. It's not decriminalizing them. It is decriminalizing the end user, i.e. you or me, who want to go and have a spliff in the comfort of their own home or whatever you want to do, and this is no longer going to be a criminal matter. Now, I just want to ask you a straightforward question. Which is this: should cannabis be decriminalised? Should cannabis be decriminalised? 0345 6060 973, text 84850. You can also send a comment to LBC via Alexa as well. And this is all being driven by the fact that we seem to be out of kilter with other international cities, the likes of New York, in particular, and this conversation has been going on for some time, and now Sadiq Khan has backed calls for the partial decriminalisation of cannabis possession after this wide-ranging study suggests the way that the drug is policed causes greater harm to society than its usage. I want to hear from you. If you are a cannabis user, how do you feel about this? Is this welcome? Will this remove the allure of doing something that's a bit on the edge and a bit criminal and, you know, it's cool and you might get caught, you might not? I mean, if it's all decriminalised, I mean, are you going to move on to something else now that's a bit more interesting? You're going to move on to ketamine now, are you? And how do you feel about yourself for using this thing? Because it has been illegal up to now, and now we're sort of like turning a blind eye to the criminalisation of it. We're moving the other way. So how do you feel? If you're a drug user, fess up. Tell me why you use this stuff. And how do you feel about this? If you're a drug dealer, do call in and tell me if you feel that you're being hard done by, because why should it be decriminalized for the end user when you're being penalized as a supplier? Because if there was no user, there would be no supply. So do you feel that the government's, in this case, Sadiq Khan, is really being unfair on you? Do you think this is unequal? Are you going to bring a case against Sadiq Khan under the Equality Act that as a drug dealer you're being discriminated against because you can't supply comfortably in the knowledge that you will not be arrested, but yet users at the back end, at the end of the supply chain who buy your stuff, they can get away scot-free? How do you feel? Are you going to bring a case against the Mayor of London on discrimination grounds? I'd like to know if you're a drug dealer. If you're a police officer, is this going to save your time? What message do you think this gives? And if you're someone who's generally out there, who doesn't take drugs, who's not a dealer and who's not a police officer, what do you make of this? Do you want to be walking along the streets of your particular town or city surrounded by a bunch of junkies with marijuana wafting in the air, as you find in parts of New York? Do let me know your thoughts. 0345 6060 973, text 84850. Joining me to discuss this is Greg De Hoot, chairman of the UK Cannabis Social Club. Greg, thank you very much indeed for joining me.
Thanks for having us on, Ellie.
What do you make of this call to decriminalise personal use of cannabis?
I welcome it, first of all. It's very sensible idea to stop criminalizing people for cannabis possession and use. Quite often the most harmful thing that happens to a cannabis consumer is to get caught by the police, so it would be very beneficial for consumers to not have to look over their shoulder constantly. But personally, I don't think decriminalization goes far enough. We need to have consumer safety rights for, you know, people that use cannabis. Decriminalization doesn't really make sure that cannabis is safe for the end consumer. I think the report actually does highlight this as well.
Can I just ask you, you used the words looking over their shoulder, so it will prevent people having to look over their shoulder, individuals. How about people who use cocaine or ketamine or heroin? Why should they be looking over their shoulder when they're engaging in their own drug use?
But they shouldn't really. We should, decriminalizing drugs is a sensible strategy in the long run across the board. But we need to have sensible regulations that come with that to ensure that people are using it safely, the right people are selling it, and it is being sold in the right quantities.
Okay, so Greg, thank you. So just to be clear, what you're saying is that you would even go further. You would decriminalize.
That's not the topic right now, though.
It's not. It's not. It's not.
Let's keep this on topic about. Let's not steer off in a direction we need to be talking.
No, Greg, we do need to be talking about it. Exactly, we do. And the reason why we need to be talking about it is because exactly this. We've only spent like 2 minutes talking about it, and we've already got to ketamine and heroin because I've asked you about it, and we're going down that road because it's just pretty slow.
You're trying to link into the gateway theory. The gateway theory is based on the fact that if you use cannabis, you then go on to harder drugs, but that
I'm not. No, I know. I'm not.
Cannabis is sold currently in the same place as other drugs.
It's not a gateway theory.
One drug dealer where they're selling cannabis and they're selling ketamine and they're selling cocaine and they're selling heroin. Chances are that person who's going to buy that drug is going to be exposed to drugs they weren't going to buy in the first place.
But Greg, it's not a gateway.
So if cannabis was separated from the rest of the drug market, we could ensure that people who want to use cannabis only stay using cannabis.
Understood.
Greg, and the cannabis that they use is safe and grown in proper conditions.
Safe
and
cannabis.
Regulated.
Understood.
It's labelled so the end consumer knows exactly what they're
doing. I understand the point you're making. I'm not making a slippery slope argument. That's another argument, which I could make, but I'm not. I'm making an argument about equality. If you're talking about people looking over their shoulder and that the individual should have freedom to do what they want, then the individual should have freedom to inject themselves with heroin or take ketamine or potentially put their life in danger. It's up to them. Let me ask you this. When Sadiq Khan comes out with this, and indeed law enforcement officers have also talked about the fact that they're wasting a lot of time criminalizing people and giving sanctions to people for personal use, where does personal responsibility come in? Because if you're a user at the moment, are you not actually inadvertently fueling the rise of County Line's drug gangs?
If you don't consciously buy your cannabis from the right sources.
Now, what's the right source?
Well, we've got cannabis social clubs in the UK since 2011.
That sounds fun. Tell us about that. Greg?
Well, we've got relationships with certain police forces around the UK, like up in Teesside, where they know that the cannabis social club's operating. They know that what the rules are, that you have to be over 18. It's private membership. You pay a membership fee. Right. The cannabis is grown by the members and distributed at a fair trade price. Now, this stops people from buying cannabis on the streets. It gives them a safe place to go and consume it. And people like Keir Starmer constantly hear him saying, like, You know, the smell of cannabis wafting in through people's windows is ruining their lives. It's like, well, the sensible solution would be to give people a cannabis social club to go and smoke in. It's a no-brainer. We have over 1,000 in Barcelona. We've had cannabis coffee shops in Amsterdam since 1972. 1996, California legalized medical marijuana, and they had cooperatives where people could go in, buy their cannabis, sit down, socialize.
But this isn't a medical cooperative issue. This is a personal use issue for social recreational purposes.
You don't need to be ill to enjoy cannabis.
Okay, so Greg, you're really telling me.
It's 114 times safer than alcohol. And we don't call people who serve alcohol at the bar drug dealers.
Yeah, but two wrongs don't make a right.
It's not a wrong and a wrong. It's a moral choice. And if you morally preference that cannabis is bad, then you're going to look at everyone through a lens of they're bad because they use cannabis. That's stigmatization. We need to stop doing that.
Absolutely, which brings me back to my equality point about every drug user of every kind of drug should be equal. And that's exactly why I asked you that particular point. Are you telling me, where you're having this cannabis social club, Greg, that the police actually are aware of this and are endorsing this completely? I mean, is this where we've got to now?
In some areas, police crime commissioners that have turned around and gone, it's much better for us to not be spending all this money and police time booking people in for cannabis.
Right.
Like, these are sensible adults. Okay. They know what they're doing. They're making a choice, and they know what outcome it gives them. And usually it's a beneficial one.
Okay. So if I want to walk around the streets of East London, free from the wafting smell that gives me a headache of cannabis, right? Your answer to that
the
is
cannabis social club.
Okay, but why should people? Then people will say, well, why do I have to go to a social club to go and consume something that I could consume in my own home or on the street? Why do I have to go to a social club?
You should be able to consume it in your own home. But if you don't want to invite every other person that you want to socialize with into your home because you've got kids there, like, then you want to go out. You know, if you want to go to the pub, you go to the pub, don't you? And if you want to drink at home, you drink at home. You've got the choice, but you should have the choice.
Do you think do you think, Greg, that we will turn into a junkie nation, or are we already a nation of junkies?
The UK is one of the highest drug consuming nations in the world.
Is that something to be proud of?
It's neither here nor there.
It's a disgrace,
really.
Like, Greg. Come on, it's a disgrace.
Is it harming people's lives, really? Like, because.
Have you seen what fentanyl's doing in the US? Have you seen what opioids are doing in the US?
People, like, why do you keep referring to, like, the fentanyl crisis when we're talking about cannabis?
Well, because
cannabis is more akin to coffee than fentanyl.
According to you, yes. According to some doctors, they would say it could lead to serious psychotic problems. And if you're making an argument about alcohol, we are where we are with alcohol. No one's calling for the banning of alcohol. That doesn't mean with your own hands you necessarily go down the road of, like, removing all personal responsibility for all of this and allowing people to do whatever they want, does it?
Yeah, we've also got doctors that are prescribing cannabis through private clinics.
That's a good point.
Like, up to 6 grams of, you know, cannabis a day, flower a day, you know, that's quite a large amount. But none of these people are turning around and having psychotic episodes or symptoms because they're using it under controlled and regulated environment. So if we controlled and regulated the commercial
cannabis, that's a good point,
market,
Greg. Just
less people would have problems.
Okay, Greg.
At the moment, you've got criminal organisations growing it in dodgy areas and spraying pesticides over it, and people are being exposed to that without their knowledge. That is a crime.
Okay, Greg.
Stop that. Okay. We need to protect people.
This is important. So just on your final point, this is actually very important. So what you're saying is, this doesn't go far enough because it should also deal with the manufacture and supply element to keep people safe. Is that
we need to give people the right to grow at home, because if we give them people the right to grow at home, they don't have the reliance on the criminal market.
Okay.
And then we need to be able to give cannabis social clubs local licensing through their local councils, like pubs get, and they can grow a supply for their membership.
Okay.
And if they want to trade it with other cannabis social clubs, they need to. We had a campaign in the UK called Camro in the 70s.
Yeah.
It was the campaign for real ale. And the UK CSC, UK Cannabis Social Clubs, is the campaign for real cannabis. And we're deadly serious about trying to legalise it, regulate it, and have a freer market for people to run businesses and put money into the economy. £2 billion pounds going into crime could be going into the check here now.
Thank you, Greg. I thoroughly enjoyed our discussion. Greg De Hoot there, chairman of the UK Cannabis Social Club. That's a nice thought, isn't it? It's a bit like, let's go down to the Reform Club on Pall Mall like Phileas Fogg and play bridge. No, I've got a better idea. Let's go down and have some spliffs at the Cannabis Social Club. How about that? Look, I'm sorry to say, look, I liked Greg. I like Greg. He was a good guy. He's got a view, and I think he's making a good point that this is not going far enough from his perspective because it's not dealing with supply and manufacture. So I can understand that, and I can respect it, that particular argument. But I tell you this, right? I tell you this. Personal responsibility in this society. What, so we're now going to become a nation of spliff smokers, are we? I mean, is that what we're becoming here? So no personal responsibility at all. So you are absolved of personal responsibility because we'll make the police life easier. They're not going to have to admonish you. They're not going to have to even fine you. They're not even going to have to give you any sort of like criminal sanction if you're a repeat offender, because it's too much of a waste of time and everyone's a junkie. I mean, go to New York. I mean, in fact, I bumped into Sadiq Khan, who I've known for many years. I like Sadiq Khan. I have nothing against him personally. Bumped into him on 6th Avenue outside my office last September. I mean, you could smell the marijuana in every corner of the city, for heaven's sake. It's not exactly something that's a great advancement to humankind. Quite the contrary. And in fact, I would like to know about my human rights and about the right that I have not to ingest and smoke, inhale rather, other people's marijuana smoke. I mean, is that too much to ask? In a modern society, we're turning into a nation of junkies, aren't we? And by the way, if you do take marijuana or any other drug, and you heard Greg there, and this is why I pushed him on cocaine, ketamine and heroin, just to name a few, you are supporting County Lines gangs. That's what you're doing. So now, but it's okay, because Sadiq Khan and others are going to potentially be perfectly happy to absolve you of your own personal responsibility. So if you're a middle-class drug user, and not just middle-class people, but any drug user, but I particularly take aim at middle-class because the middle-class don't have the excuse of being hard up on cash or other things and, you know, being pushed into this because of other woes. If you're a middle-class drug user, you should basically be a disgrace, ashamed of yourself. Really. I mean, effectively now, the state is going to decriminalise you from taking personal responsibility for not ruining people's lives, including children, who are members of County Lines gangs. Go figure that one. Should cannabis be decriminalised? I think I've made my points quite clear, haven't I? 0345 606 0973, text 84850. Ali Mirage on LBC 119.
This is LBC.
If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, what you thought you were getting may not be what you ended up with. From unexpected site fee increases, running costs, a huge depreciation in value, many owners feel they've been missold. If you think this might be you, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive the compensation you're entitled to. Text ASSIST to 78900 to find out more. That's ASSIST to 78900.
At Wickes, save on Dulux Standard 2.5 litre coloured emulsion. Was £23, now £15. Feel as proud as a peacock with Wickes. Ends Wednesday. Terms apply.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
With over 50 years' experience at Fidelity, we believe there's a difference between investing and being invested. Investing is having access to guidance, tools, and expert insights. Being invested means feeling confident about your future. Investing is choosing from a wealth of investment options. Being invested means focusing on your long-term goals. For ISAs, pensions or advice, be truly invested with Fidelity. Go to fidelity.co.uk. Your capital is at risk. Terms apply.
I'm making a robot head with an Amazon box. I've painted it silver and Daddy helped me make
it. At Amazon, we're actually using paper bags for more of our deliveries.
And now I'm making a paper hot air balloon. And I even made a little brown basket. And I'm making a dog that looks just like Monty.
Just one of the ways we've reduced the weight of our packaging by more than 40% since 2015. Which is still good for playtime.
Mom, where's the scissors?
To learn more, visit aboutamazon.co.uk/sustainability.
You could be £10,000 richer just in time for summer. Enter now at winplus.co.uk. Great prizes, real winners. 18 plus, GB only, T's and C's apply.
Ali Mirage on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Ali Mirage on LBC 121. Sadiq Khan has called for the partial decriminalisation of cannabis possession. We're turning into a nation of spliff smokers, aren't we here? A nation of junkies. Should cannabis be decriminalised? 0345 6060 973, text 84850. Robin Hastings, afternoon.
Afternoon. How are you doing?
Very well, sir. What would you like to say?
First, can we start with just check the dictionary definition of a junkie, please?
No, I don't need to. I think I know what a junkie
is. I'll give it to you. Okay, it's of little use as value to society.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're saying that everyone who smokes cannabis is of little or useless value to society?
A lot of them are, yes.
Sorry?
A lot of them are, yes. Of little use to society, correct.
What's that opinion based on?
Based on my own personal experience of walking around the streets, if that's all right with you.
What, people who are smoking a spliff?
Yes.
And you're smelling it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so you've got no personal responsibility and are fueling a drug trade. How about that?
You judge someone by the smell of what they're smoking?
Yes, I judge them by the fact that they're acting in criminal activity and fueling drug gangs.
Okay, how about everyone who's drinking in a pub?
It's not illegal.
Are they also junkies?
It's not illegal.
No. Okay, the word you should be using is criminal. It's criminal, not junkie.
No. I'll use the words I want, thank you very much. Go on, make your point.
Well, use the words. No. Just justify your use of the words.
No, I have you justified it. I've seen people all over the place. My area is full of junkies. So is New York, on every street corner. Just go there and have
junkies.
A look.
Junkies?
Yes.
Junkies. What? Because someone's smoking a spliff. They're of little or useless value to society.
Many of them are, yes, because they go on
Are you crazy?
No, I'm not.
Are you crazy?
No, hold on, Rob. Whoa. Hold on. Go and look at the people who then go and use that as a gateway drug, right? And I've just had a conversation, right?
Yep.
I've just had a conversation with Greg DeHoot here, right? On this very, very notion. And when pushed, it became very clear that all drugs should be decriminalised. So yes, many of them are junkies. Go on.
Okay, now I'm going to tell you something about myself.
Go on.
So I started smoking cannabis at the age of 13.
Right.
It was unregulated, dangerous stuff. Through the people I was getting it from, I developed a psychosis from it at about 19.
Right.
I went on, because I've made contacts in cannabis, went on to become a heroin addict, okay?
Yeah.
I was also did a, while I was a heroin addict, I raised two children, a functioning heroin addict, two very, very, very well-raised children.
Okay.
I did a civil engineering degree.
Yeah.
And I've been working in engineering for the last 25 years.
Okay. So you're telling this is a lifestyle choice, is it?
No. I'm telling you that not everyone who uses drugs is a junkie.
So you're a high-functioning heroin addict. Is that what you're telling us?
No. I'm
go
clean
on.
Now.
Okay, no, oh, use, okay, so why did you go clean if it was such a great thing?
I'm not saying it's a great thing.
So why are you defending it?
If cannabis had been legal,
right,
and regulated, I'd never have come into contact with people selling heroin.
Really?
I'd never have become. Yeah, really.
Okay,
absolutely.
But this isn't calling for the legalization of cannabis. This is talking about the decriminalization of possession.
Yeah. And you're classing everyone who smokes a joint as a junkie?
No, but I'm asking you a different question now. This is about the I'm asking you this. This is about the decriminalization of possession. It is not about the legalization of cannabis.
So you don't want to focus on the fact that you're classing everyone who smokes a joint.
No, I've already dealt with your point, and I've defended my point, which is
they're useless to society.
Yes, many of them are.
Okay,
hold on a second, right? So you're defending the fact that you were a parent and you were taking heroin. Is that what you're doing?
No, I'm not at all.
Well, exactly. So I would say that is a completely irresponsible thing to do as a parent, is to be a drug
Absolutely.
Addict, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so then don't defend your behaviour. Just accept the
I'm
fact.
I'm not defending my behaviour.
Well, you are.
I'm explaining to you that if cannabis had been illegal,
yeah,
I would never have come into contact with
exactly. So the point I'm making now is that this is not about legalisation. It's about decriminalisation of personal use. And that is not going to legalise it. So you are still going to come into potential dealers of heroin.
Absolutely. So right. It's not enough. Sadiq
okay.
Khan is not suggesting
Interesting.
Enough.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate your call. Zuleika in Birmingham. Good afternoon.
Hello, Ali. Thank you for taking my call.
Go ahead. What would you like to say?
Well, I'm for the decriminalisation. And what it is, I'm talking it just more on like a medical view. Because what it is, I have epilepsy. And through the NHS, I can't get cannabis or anything like that. And like to have it privately, it's too much money to have it that way. So for me, I have like two types of epilepsy. I have like the normal type where like people collapse and they shake and black out. And I also have like mini seizures, and that's, you wouldn't notice I'm having them, but I can feel it. But whilst I'm having it, I can either eat or take two pours of a spliff, and it will stop that type of seizure. And I'm currently on three different types of medication. And previously, I've been on probably like five different medications for epilepsy.
Zuleika, can they prescribe it for you at all on the NHS? Is it allowed, medicalization of cannabis? Is it allowed?
Well, it is. I don't fit the criteria. And if I did, it's very rare. Like, I don't know anyone, even if they did fit the criteria, actually get it via the NHS.
I do look, I understand what your point is, because I can understand that in cases of where there's a medical need, I've more sympathy for this, definitely. And if the argument is that the definition of what medical need constitutes needs to be broadened, then we can have a debate about that. Fair enough. I understand that particular point. If we park the medical need thing for a second, more generally, how do you feel about decriminalisation, Zuleika?
I think generally, I'm so for it, because like I do believe like, and plus I'm a black person, so I do see like how like black people are more targeted by the police, and they say it's like cannabis.
But you see, go on, finish your point. Go on.
And I was just saying, like, if that was decriminalised, then there would be less, like, targeting of black people.
You see, I'm not sure there would be. You see, I think this nonsense argument that's promulgated by some of the police officers is complete nonsense. Because use is one thing, right? Supply and manufacture is a different thing. So, but we're not talking about legalization of the entire supply chain of cannabis here. What we're talking about is decriminalizing personal use. So it won't stop black people being disproportionately stopped and searched at all, in my view, because it could still be, and I'm not saying it's just black people, it could be anyone, they could still be producing it, right? So this is a complete red herring argument, in my view. Zuleika, thank you for your call. Andy, a new caller in Jersey. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Go ahead.
So my background is significantly in the criminal justice system and in around the prescribing of cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I do think it should be decriminalised because the fact that it's illegal has not reduced its use in any way, and it's just created a culture of criminality. Secondly, I think we need to demedicalise this because we're a lot of people are using it for a medical reason when there's actually no medical evidence to support that it helps, other than in a couple of cases of spasticity related to multiple sclerosis, and also a good indication that it helps with certain forms of epilepsy. I think there's plenty of work should be done to research the efficacy in that specific area, but let's not prescribe it for headaches and back pain and every kind of ailment that people are complaining of nowadays. 90% of that market is going into the criminal market, into the black market. Almost without exception, everybody I know that's prescribed medical cannabis are only using about 10% of what they're prescribed. The rest is being sold into the black market and funneling a new industry there. But the bottom line is that within the criminal justice system, there's no evidence to support the view that cannabis leads is a gateway drug. It's not.
Well, you just heard from my first caller, Rob, who was getting very punchy about me calling drug users junkies. That it was a gateway drug for him, right? He went on to heroin. So
I would propose that he would have probably sought out other drugs anyway.
How do you know that?
Because there's simply no evidence to back up the claim that it's a gateway drug. In the nations where we've decriminalised cannabis, there hasn't been an increase in other drug use.
Okay, let me ask you this, Andy. Where does personal responsibility come in for fuelling drug and gang-related drug crime in this country?
Yep, very good point. I think it goes back, again, to proper education around what drugs can lead to. It's not working. Our current
but education's not working. So school teachers who are already pressed and who are leaving in their droves are now meant to be adding another class to the curriculum called drug studies, are they?
No, absolutely not. But if you decriminalise it, make people more aware of it, make people more switched on. So, for example, if you look at alcohol use now, I'm in my 50s. Okay. During the 80s and 90s, it was very usual for young 20-year-olds, of which I was one of them, to go out and get drunk at weekends and drink a lot of alcohol. That culture is changing because children are now more switched on to the damages of alcohol.
That is true.
So we could do the same through social media in relation to cannabis. There hasn't been a rise in drug use.
Really interesting, isn't it? It's really interesting.
In fact, since the onset of PlayStations and social media, drug use has dropped because children are getting their hits elsewhere.
Yeah, they're getting their hits and getting anxious by doing the other things. Interesting. Andy, thank you. Should cannabis be decriminalised? 0345-6060973. Text 84850. You're listening to Ali Mirage on LBC 132. The news headlines with Sinead Carroll.
Two adults and a teenager have died in a car crash in South Gloucestershire. A second child suffered serious injuries in the crash, which happened on the M5 last night. The US Defence Secretary has warned that China is rehearsing for a potential invasion of Taiwan. Speaking at a security conference in Singapore, Pete Hegseth said the threat from Beijing could be imminent. A man's been arrested after a car collided with pedestrians in Leicester. Two men and two women were injured. Police believe it happened after a fight. And a new three-drug combination could help women with an aggressive type of breast cancer to live longer. Trials showed women taking the drug were able to delay chemotherapy treatment by almost 2 years. LBC weather, dry with lots of sunny spells. It's going to be breezy on the coast, but very warm in the south. Temperatures peaking at 27 degrees.
This is LBC.
Nothing beats a Jet 2 holiday. And right now, you can save £200 per couple with MyJet 2. So escape to sunny favourites like Gran Canaria, Crete and Costa Blanca. And get 22 kilograms of baggage included. Book now from London Stansted with just a £60 deposit per person. Jet 2 holidays. Package holidays you can trust. Patronage protected. Subject to availability and conditions.
With over 50 years' experience at Fidelity, we believe there's a difference between investing and being invested. Investing is having access to guidance, tools, and expert insights. Being invested means feeling confident about your future. Investing is choosing from a wealth of investment options. Being invested means focusing on your long-term goals. For ISAs, pensions, or advice, be truly invested with Fidelity. Go to fidelity.co.uk. Your capital is at risk. Terms apply.
At Halfords, we want you to say yes to packing more into summer days with a great value roof box or bike rack. Say yes to freewheeling fun with bikes and gear for all the family. Say yes to a perfectly polished car with our range of car cleaning products. And say yes to easy breezy trips with a free aircon check. Our experts are on hand with checks, advice and fitting. So pop into your local store or shop online and say yes to summer at Halfords. Subject to availability, see halfords.com for full T's and C's.
How do you grow a perfectly sweet strawberry? Well, it takes more than just soil and water, but time, care and the best conditions to flourish. At Tesco, we keep every strawberry warm during the day and cold during the night, to ensure they develop the sweetest flavour. Mm. It may seem like a little thing, but to us, it's everything. Now, if you don't mind, the strawberries are sleeping. Tesco, every little helps.
This is LBC with Ali Mirage. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Ali Mirage on LBC 135. Big piece in The Guardian today. Worried about weed? Should London follow New York and decriminalise cannabis? This is after a study that was done that's lasted quite some time, headed by Lord Faulkner, has recommended that personal use of cannabis be decriminalised. Sadiq Khan is apparently supportive of this. My question is very straightforward. Should cannabis be decriminalised? 0345 6060 973, text 84850. Also ask Alexa to send a comment to LBC. Andrew says this, the UK is literally the world's largest exporter of medical marijuana. So maybe you should start there instead of punching down to the man on the street. Why is it punching down, Andrew, to just point out that people who use this are completely irresponsible and fueling a gang trade in County Line's drugs? Don't know why that's punching down, but hey, call me old-fashioned. Ollie says this, I've smoked cannabis since I was 12 and now I'm nearly 29 and still haven't changed my drug of choice. Still only take cannabis. That's sweet. Ollie, thank you for that. And John says, as a user, I'm forced by the government to buy from a criminal. I'd love to grow it, but I'd risk a much lengthier sentence than for just for possession. It is the government policy that drives criminality and county lines. John, I don't disagree with you there. It's an interesting point, but I also think personal responsibility and use of drugs also fuels the drugs trade. We'll come back to your calls on whether cannabis should be decriminalised, 0345 6060973, in a couple of minutes. But one item that caught my eye is, of course, that Taylor Swift has bought the rights to all her music in an end to a feud with her previous record label. Joining me to discuss this is David Martin, Chief Executive of the Featured Artists Coalition, the UK trade body representing the specific rights and interests of music artists. David, thank you for joining me. What has Taylor Swift done here?
Hi, Ali. Thanks for having me. As you say, we've seen the end to a very long saga now. Taylor Swift has now bought the master rights to her first six albums. So originally she signed with a record label, Big Machine, and those rights were owned by that record label. Those rights were subsequently bought in 2019 by an investment company and then sold on once more to another investment company called Shamrock Capital. Mm-hmm. Taylor has been trying to buy those rights back for a very long time, and this brings that to a close. She now owns those rights once more.
Why is this so significant for her?
Well, it's really significant for all artists. Of course, Taylor Swift, being the biggest artist on the planet, is the one that will get the headlines. But but we often talk about ownership of rights in the music industry. It's important because the ownership of the rights dictates how those rights, so how that music is used effectively. So the person that owns those rights determines the creative control of that music. They also have financial control of that music as well. And additionally, I think that there's a moral element to this. The idea of not owning something that you have created, there's a moral element to this. So it's really important on those three levels, I think. To give you an example of the creative control, the owner of the rights will be the person that determines how they're marketed, mm-hmm. how they're released, perhaps how they're synchronized to video, to films, to mm-hmm. adverts, or to video games. And on the financial control side, what's really important is that the owner of the master is the one that collects the income. So when Taylor Swift, taking Taylor Swift as an example, when she signed her record deal, she would have signed a deal with a royalty within mm-hmm. it. And that would mean that she would have received a percentage of the income that was attached to her work, that was incoming from her work. That was likely somewhere in the region of 15 to 20% back then, mm-hmm. with the record label keeping the rest, the 80% of the income. What now will happen is that all of the income from that work will go to Taylor Swift, and similarly, any other artist that controls their rights, all of the income will go to them. So it's a significant financial impact.
But she spent millions acquiring these rights. Not every artist can do that. I mean, if you sign up with a record label, the deal typically will be, won't it, David, that the record label will invest in you and give you the break you want, and you'll share in the royalties, but you won't own the rights to your own music. Isn't that typically what would happen?
It's changing, but yes, traditionally, record label deals would have been what we call in perpetuity, so the rights would have been signed over forever. Mm. That is slowly changing, and certainly at the FAC, we would talk to artists who were considering signing any in perpetuity deals and suggest that they think about that really carefully. Okay. But to give you a really practical example on the finances. Let's take that 20-80 split. Of course, you're right. We're talking about it because it's Taylor Swift, and she's paid hundreds of millions of pounds, likely, for those rights, exactly. And not all artists can do that. Mm. Her rights are also worth that amount of money because she's so big. Yeah. But if you take, let's say she was on 80-20, for example, she might have taken an advance. Let's say that advance was £1 million. That will be the payment for her, yep. and the payment to record the record and make the record, etc., etc. The £1 million debt, if you like, is placed against the artist's account, and that debt is only paid off from that 20%. So actually, as 100% of the income comes in, 80% goes to the label, 20% goes to paying off that debt.
Yeah.
So until £5 million worth of income is made, the artist is making nothing in royalties. They're just paying off that debt. Understood. So you can quite quickly see, for that £1 million to be paid back, the label's already received £4 million. So the financial control is enormous for artists. Even at a much lower level, it gives artists control over their destiny, if you like. Okay. And for artists that aren't making enormous amounts of money, it can still be their pension if they can control that income.
Absolutely. David, thank you. Fascinating analysis there and background. David Martin there, Chief Executive of the Featured Artist Coalition, talking about Taylor Swift, who some people would say after that acquisition of all her rights that she is a hero, not an anti-hero. Sorry, I just couldn't resist. Should cannabis be decriminalised? 0345 6060 973. Edgar in Henley, good afternoon.
Ali, good day. I've come out with an idea. I agree with you. I don't think we should decriminalise drugs of any sort. Mm-hmm. I think we need to regulate them. Mm-hmm. So what happens is, it's happened over the eons that humans have been taking substances and just saying no doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do want is to educate people. So mm-hmm. if you want to take drugs, I don't care what it is, yeah, you have to go and see a doctor. And the doctor gives you the pros and the cons. If as an adult you say, well, I still want to take drugs, you get it from the NHS, but you pay from the NHS. You cannot use NHS services after that. If you drink, you cannot use them. If you know, whatever it is. So, and you have to pay for your own health care. In turn, that means we can then we can get supplies from a third world country that can't make rice, can't have, you know, but they can grow opium or whatever it is. We make sure it's controlled. We are the dealer, the government. And then every 6 months, you have to go back to your GP who says, how's it going? oh, you really? You've got an ulcer in your leg? Well, I told you that would happen. Do you want to come off it and try and get them back on the right side of the level? I don't know what's going on, but just say no, it does not work. And alcohol is a scourge of this country.
Well, I agree with you there. Definitely alcohol use is linked to all sorts of issues, but then so is obesity, Edgar. I mean, what, they're going to be regulating next how many burgers I'm having a week? No, maybe,
well, yes, I think,
maybe
why
they
not,
will.
Eh? I'll tell you what, why not? If you're overweight or you've been overfeeding a child, you have to go and run around the park with it. Why not? I mean, come on, it's ridiculous. I mean, I walk around all day and I see oversized children. No, they're not paying for the food, they're having it shoveled in their face.
Well,
now, addiction to food is the worst addiction
okay.
in the world.
Okay, but your point is that it should be regulated, it should be controlled by the government, and if you are seeing a doctor and you decide to go with it, that you're going to have your NHS services curtailed. Interesting idea, Edgar. I'm not sure how practical it will be in reality, but interesting idea. Thank you for your call. Mo is a new caller in St. Austell. Good afternoon.
Hello.
What would you like to say?
I would just like to say I feel that small amounts of cannabis should be decriminalised for personal use.
Yeah, that's what they want to do, yeah.
I support the views of the UK Cannabis Club in the sense that if people had places to go to get medical cannabis and to consume it away from the general public, there would be less of a crime. For yourself, you say that, you know, you've walked around the streets and you don't like the smell of it.
Yeah,
I agree. I do agree that I'm a cannabis user, so I do agree people need to be mindful of the general public. But now, you know, it's been a medication in this country since 2018, and I understand there's little education on it. For example, my nan is 85 years old. She's been against it for her whole life. But since I've educated her slightly on the medical benefits when used correctly and supported by the government, because we are, as someone else has said, the biggest exporter of medical cannabis, I feel like the decriminalisation needs to be regulated again, as other people have said.
But Moes, this argument being given by Sadiq Khan and his review that has been undertaken here is not just talking about medical use of cannabis. This is talking about any use, as I understand it, by anyone for personal reasons, which is going to be completely decriminalised. This is not people who have got medical conditions having to go to safe houses to go and take cannabis. This is about anyone. It's not medical.
No, I understand that. And again, you know, many people have mentioned to you alcohol, as you've mentioned to other people, you know, different drugs as such.
Yeah.
Alcohol has got, you know, the effects that alcohol has on people is damning. You know, if you go through crime records, people that have used cannabis don't cause horrific crimes like alcoholics do. But the country, you know, there's not very much regulation on alcohol. You can go and get it wherever you want.
Yeah.
So for cannabis, you know, as a cannabis user, after I've smoked a joint, I want to draw or do my creative stuff. I don't want to go out in the street and cause a problem. And I think that the discussion needs to be a little bit more two-sided, and I understand you have your views on cannabis and you've had bad experiences, but there are a lot of people in this country that are good for the society, you know, and if they want to use cannabis in their own home, but like I said, people should be mindful and not just use it wherever they like, but cannabis users that have small amounts of them, we're not a menace to society.
I understand your point. I understand your point about the menace to society. That bit I can understand. Moes, how do you feel, though, about the fact that if this is decriminalised for personal use, let's say in your own home and you're minding your own business and you want to be creative and draw a picture or something and you take cannabis, right, which it does help a lot of creative people, as I understand it, right? Do you think this is in any way removing your own personal responsibility for fueling a drugs trade in this country?
Well, if we follow on from other countries that have had this legalised for years and years and years, we would be taking away the drug problem, the illegal
because
the government would be controlling it,
which would be
beneficial, for the country as a whole.
Exactly, which brings me to the point that this is then a half-baked solution. It's neither one thing nor the other. If you want to go the whole hog, then legalise the whole thing, legalise the whole supply chain, and decriminalise individual use. This is only decriminalising personal use, which seems totally and utterly bizarre to me that you would do this. And in fact, Lord Faulkner, who undertook this review, said this, and I quote, "It is clear that a fundamental reset is required. Legislation is not the answer. The criminal justice system response needs to focus only on the dealers and not the users, and then needs to be much more education on the risks of cannabis use. Well, if you're focusing on the dealers and not the users, there would be no dealers if there was no use. Seems totally bizarre to me. Moses, thank you for your call. Should cannabis be decriminalised? 0345 6060 973, text 84850. Ali Miraj on LBC 148.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall.
Dame Emily Thornberry, Chair of the Foreign Affairs Select Committee, Labour MP in Islington as well, of course, joins me in the studio. Do you think we're moving on from the Brexit wars?
I think they probably don't care. I mean, I think that on the whole, those who wanted to leave are happy. Those who didn't want to leave are not particularly happy. But everybody's kind of moved on.
Listen on your radio, on Global Player and the new LBC app.
Do you agree with him that they are using starvation as a weapon of war?
They say that they are not allowing food into Gaza in order to get the hostages back. I have to say, this is not the way to behave. They have to stop. This far-right government is behaving in the most appalling way, and there will be a reckoning.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall. Sunday morning from 10 on LBC.
It's your home, darling. Let's make it fabulous. High scoring isn't my forte, but there's no arguing with Trustpilot ratings. Shutterly Fabulous have an expert team of fitters who specialise in one thing, simply gorgeous window shutters. Made to measure, hand-finished, and expertly installed. Make your home Shutterly Fabulous. So don't dither, darling. Book a free consultation with our expert shutter fitters today.
The Virgin Atlantic Holiday Sale is now on. This is your sign to taste Jamaican jerk chicken so good it brings a tear to your eye. Catch a New York basement gig worth the 10-block detour. Or hit the dunes in Dubai and find sand in your pockets for weeks. Seize the sale. Book in store or online at Virgin Atlantic Holidays. Selected routes. For T's and C's, visit virginatlantic.com.
Car owners, you could be owed thousands in compensation. If you bought a car on finance from 2007 onwards, it may have been sold with hidden commissions. Text CLAIM to 86688. My Claim Group. Authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. You don't need to use a CMC. You can claim direct to your lender and the Financial Ombudsman for free. Text CLAIM to 86688.
Claims made simple.
Angela Rippon, what are you doing here?
I've come to tell you about using energy flexibly, Albert.
Flexibly?
Yes, smart meter owners could get rewarded for moving their energy use, like doing the laundry at off-peak times.
So I don't need to do the splits?
No, Albert. Nobody wants to see that.
Get rewarded for using energy flexibly, only with a smart meter. Search Get a Smart Meter today.
Eligibility and availability vary. Consumer action required. Reward schemes and tariffs available to selected customers from selected suppliers.
Ali Miraj on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Ali Miraj on LBC 151. Should cannabis be decriminalised? This is on the back of this report by the London Drugs Commission, headed up by Lord Faulkner, calling for decriminalisation of personal use of cannabis. The Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, is behind this. What do you think? It's been covered in the papers again today. And it says in The Guardian, should London follow New York and decriminalise cannabis? 0345 6060 973. Chris says this. Ali, alcohol is the gateway drug, not cannabis. You don't have to smoke cannabis. You can vape it or eat it. You don't get violent on cannabis, as some users do on alcohol. The smell argument, this is the argument I made that I don't want to smell it, is just bizarre and fairly desperate. Not that desperate or bizarre, Chris, on the basis that, look, if you want to get stoned on your own time, that's absolutely fine by me. If you want to take the risk of developing psychosis, which some people do, a minority, of course, that's your choice. You can go and damage your body if you want to. I just don't want to have to smell it when I'm walking down the street, if that's not too much to ask. Dinah in Shepherd's Bush, good afternoon.
Good afternoon there. No, I don't think we should decriminalise it. I mean, I have some experience because of my sons with Class A drugs and what we call cannabis, mm-hmm. which is not the cannabis of the 60s, 70s and 80s. This stuff is highly potent.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I agree, people don't go out, you know, murdering people and you know, marauding around the streets. But they start off smoking £20 a day. And often my kids started at school when they were 13. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. And obviously the brain is underdeveloped.
Yep.
One of them now has psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we need any more of that. And even if they decriminalised it and you could grow it, the point that you made about the smell.
Yep.
So two doors down, there's mm-hmm. somebody who smokes this stuff.
Yep.
If you open your windows, it's as if you had it in your front room.
Yeah, it gives you a headache. It gives you a headache. Yeah.
It absolutely reeks to high heaven.
Absolutely.
But also, the my son started off on cannabis, as I said, or skunk,
mm-hmm.
which is very potent.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did go on to take heroin and crack cocaine. It was a gateway drug for them.
But you see, Diana, you hear that for many people will make the argument, well, it's very unfortunate that it was for your son, but for many people it's not. The argument also given, and you heard this from Greg De Hoot, chairman of the UK Cannabis Social Club, and I think he was making the point that actually this suggestion of decriminalisation for personal use does not go far enough. It should be fully legalised, the whole supply chain, because for the very reason, Diana, to maintain the quality of the drug being produced, because the much more potent stuff is being sold on the streets now.
Yes, and I can totally understand that. The problem is that even if you go that far, and it's not as potent,
yeah.
The reason people want to take it because they want to smoke it so it blows their heads off.
Well, of course, there's a reason, exactly.
Yeah, they're always going to find it somewhere to buy it illegally. And because they're not going to want the stuff that isn't as strong.
So
that's
interesting.
Not why.
So, I think that's really interesting, Diana. And do you think it will lose its allure if it's decriminalised? The people
yes.
will think. Yeah, well.
Yes, it will. And they'll try and find something that's, stronger.
That's what I worry
also,
about. Yeah, go on,
Diana. One more point.
Yeah, go on.
If people want to smoke this, if that's the way we're heading, then we better take their driving licences off them. Because that cannabis stays in your system, as far as I know, for maybe up to a week, if not two.
That's really interesting, actually, about this implications on things like driving. I hadn't actually even thought of that, Dan. I think it's a very good point. Appreciate your call and your perspective. Leroy, a new caller in Brixton. Good afternoon, Leroy. Leroy, are you there? Don't know where Leroy is. Text in here. Typical weak heart halfway house from the Blairite. Sap Faulkner, the most dangerous aspect of weed is the gangs funded by it. So decriminalising use but keeping sale illegal is a gangster's dream come true. Completely agree. Adam in Wakefield, good afternoon.
Hi, Ali, I hope you're well.
Likewise.
Yeah, I think a lot of people that are calling in today are misunderstanding the question. I think they're giving their personal experience in regards to how they use their weed or what they use weed as or their families. Whereas the question is in relation to whether it should be decriminalized. I think to decriminalize something, there has to be statistics involved in terms of service being done. So, for example, if cannabis is to be decriminalized, there should be an experiment done in the sense where how well is going to... So, for example, if criminality is going to come down, how far is it going to come down to when it was... when it wasn't decriminalised. Do you understand what I'm
saying? Well, no, I don't think it's going to have anything to do with criminality in terms of actual people breaking your windows and getting into your home. I think this this is more about the fact that if you're using it personally in your own home, minding your own business in your front room, Adam, that you can do it without the police knocking on your door and fining you, or if you're a repeat offender, giving you a criminal record. I mean, that's what it's about. It's not really about crime stats, really.
It does fall into it in the sense where if you want something to be decriminalized, you need to see how well it's going to form.
That's true.
Obviously, there's about 66 million people living in the UK right now.
Yeah.
So we need to find out how many people are using cannabis as like socializing with it, or they're using it medically or whatever. But obviously, I'm against it and for it for some reason. It's obviously that if there's regulations, if it's regulated properly, then yeah, of course, there should be some sort of decriminalization towards it.
Okay.
But not to where some people can benefit from, in the sense where obviously in a criminality way. But yeah, I think the other thing is you could tax a lot of people as well. So.
Well, the argument for legalisation of it is that it could actually introduce a further tax receipts of about 4.7 billion, as far as I understand it. So there's a right big fat gaping hole there that the government could exploit if it legalises the whole thing. Adam, thank you. Io in Romford, good afternoon.
Hi, Ali. Right, look, Ali, you've got this completely wrong. You're a very intelligent man. Why? What is it that you find so egregious about people taking cannabis? Why won't you follow the evidence? Let me tell you something, Ali, just quick before you jump in. There are hundreds of consumption rooms across London for cannabis. People go in, they buy their weed, they sit there, they, you know, and basically I've met paramedics, I've met lawyers, I've met people from all walks of society, okay? Having cannabis being illegal in the UK is absolutely ridiculous. You can find cannabis on every single high street, every single, like, you know, place, rural or not rural, Wales, England, Scotland. Keeping it illegal is all it does, is that is what fuels crime, Ali. And the problem we have with drugs in this country is actually people like you, people who've got opinions like you. You are the actual problem, Ali.
I totally disagree, and I respectfully disagree, and I thank you for your call. I would say that it's actually people like you that unfortunately are the problem, because you're fueling drug gangs. If we want to legalize the whole entire supply chain, fair enough, it would make sense. I could understand that intellectually. What I can't understand is a halfway house where you decriminalise the drug user, but you keep the other part of it criminal. Doesn't make sense to me at all. Thank you for your calls on that. Now, women in England could be offered breast checks from the age of 30, with an NHS trial showing that one in five women tested in their 30s have an increased risk of developing breast cancer. How has breast cancer changed your life?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.